It's May 23rd. Welcome to Beyond the Pod. Brandon Molesky, along with former Golden Gopher Pat Micheletti. Beyond the Pod, brought to you, as always, by Eagle Valley Golf Course. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Brandon. How are you?
I'm good. Doing fantastic. You?
Good. Really good.
Minnesota Wild have a new GM. Were you at the press conference?
I was unable
to make it because it's so close to the ComMan program.
Right.
I have to be on the air. So I could not be there, but what was your impressions of the press conference of Paul Fenton?
Well, very impressed. And, you know, I'm a little biased because I've known Paul for, you know, quite a long time. Played together on a national team with him for a brief time and then played against him. So, you know, I know him. He's a really good man, really good person, you know, good family guy, and really, you know, he's a good hockey guy, too. So I think... I think the Wild fans really should be excited about some of the things that he'll do with this hockey club.
You know, it's always dangerous to judge on Twitter because usually all the negativity comes out.
Oh, for sure.
On Twitter, but you know, a lot of people seem to be bothered by pretty much him saying, "Oh, we're going to tweak some things," which is parroting what Craig Leopold had said before. And
I don't understand
the frustration with that because one, Craig Leopold said we're going to tweak. And I'm only going to bring a GM who's going to tweak. So were you expecting Fenton to come out yesterday and say something completely different than what Leopold said? That's not going to work. And then two, as I thought, Dan Barrero brilliantly said yesterday from 3 to 6:30 on KFAN. And I know he's not necessarily in the hockey community, but he said, you can't come out and play all your cards right away. I mean, you're brand new GM. You can't if you're going to make a bunch of moves and be aggressive, you can't let the whole world National Hockey League know you're desperate to make moves. You
can't
do it. So, I don't understand why people are so bothered by it.
No, and let's talk about tweaking and tanking. And you know what? Do you know how, first of all, let's set the bar here. It's very difficult to win the Stanley Cup. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
And
look at Winnipeg.
Yeah. And not
I
many,
thought they were destined to.
Right. For sure. Right. And, and what happened to Winnipeg? They turned into a one line team in that Vegas series, a one line team.
Yeah.
And so. That goes to show you where a team may be or may not be or what have you. But that being said, and you know, call me a homer, call me what you will, but not many teams in the National Hockey League had over 100 points, and they've done it 2 years in a row. And so when you look at it, just because you have a negative feeling about losing in the first round for the last 2 years – don't necessarily say it's you got to blow everything up. Now, I'm one to believe that maybe if you do make a hockey trade, a deal, and I'm not going to name names, but maybe that deal will inspire another person on your team to elevate their game. Hey, we just got this guy. You know, he's a different name. He's not. I don't want to name names, but. You know, just someone that may be able to elevate the group.
Sure.
That maybe bring a different attitude to the team. That may, you know, be able to score that goal or make that defensive play or whatever, make that save, whatever the thing is. You know, so why would you want to, because not everyone's bad when you're getting 100 points. You know, I mean, yeah, some guys didn't play well enough and we all know that and whatever the case. But I think, you know, if you are able to make deals like they made in Nashville.
Yeah.
They weren't afraid to get rid of a number one pick in Seth Jones. I think, what did he go, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 overall? So, I don't even know.
They gave away three stud defensemen.
Yes.
From Suter to Weber to Seth Jones. I mean, imagine giving up those three and still considered being one of them having the best blue line in all of hockey.
And that's my, and I think you and I have talked about this before. You've got to have the ability to be bold.
Yeah.
To be able to say, I'm sticking my neck on the line here to make this deal.
And you would think he would be coming from that organization.
Without a doubt.
And seeing the success.
Without a doubt. And you know, like, well, you and I can go watch a game, okay? And this is a difference in a Paul Fenton and how he operates. You and I can go watch a game and we can see a player and we can say, whew, that guy really skates well. Boy, he's got a good shot.
Sure.
Boy, he's big and strong. Look at him do that. But you know what Paul Fenton sees? He'll see, it's 6-1. How hard's he working? You know, he'll notice, we're up 5-1. How hard is he working?
Intangibles.
Intangibles.
Yeah.
How did he? Where did he go on that drop? Was he lazy? Sure. How was his face after, you know, he didn't get a pass from a player, right?
And those are the stuff that's infectious in a locker room.
Exactly.
And can elevate other
players.
And
that's where, you know, that's where you have a good general manager, when you can see those things and, you know, and draft or whatever. And this is, believe me, this is no shot against Chuck Fletcher, because Chuck Fletcher will be a general manager in the league again. And he did a lot of great things for this organization.
Yes,
and is a good hockey man. But I'm just saying, from what Paul Fenton brings to the table.
It's funny you mention that, because you know, as of right now, we're taping this on a Wednesday morning,
right.
Game 7 between Washington and Tampa Bay tonight. So people listening right now might know the results of that later. But that's always been my criticism towards Alex Ovechkin. I mean, clearly world class
right.
shot. I don't think there's maybe a player in the history of the NHL that you would rather have on that power play spot on the right right wing spot there,
yep.
than Alexander Ovechkin. He's as good as it gets.
Without a doubt.
Dynamic shot.
Yep.
He can play a physical game if you
uh-huh.
need. He can stick handle. He can, you know, he's got a little bit of speed. My criticism of him has always been those intangibles that you're talking
yep.
about, that I think can kind of have, especially from your leader, can have an impact on the rest of your team. Those are things he's now doing.
Yeah.
It's taken a while to get there, but yes.
You can tell in his expression. Did you see after they, I think it was an empty net goal when they beat Pittsburgh, did you see the expression on his face?
It was like relief.
It was like relief. It was
yeah.
like, yes, I'm so happy for everybody on my team, for the, you know, for all the fans. You're exactly right in the difference in his attitude.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference in your leader, in your leadership, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Cause you all look to that guy or that, or a couple guys on your team. And I think that's really important.
And that might be an issue with the Minnesota Wild. And
it might be.
You and I aren't in the locker room. We
nope.
we don't know who's the leader,
nope.
what kind of leader they are,
right.
whether they're respected, how people
they
like,
lead and all that stuff.
But, you know, I think the biggest reason people have concerns about this team is, yeah, we can make a tweak here, there, but still you're kind of same leadership group, which has been in charge of a team that really hasn't been able to advance in the postseason,
yep.
is still going to be there because they all have no trade, no move clauses.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it's because now let's go back to when they beat Colorado in that 7-game series and they
yep.
won. There, that was a team that overcame some hardship. That really, I mean, God, it was such a fun series to watch.
That was a great series
because they were all together and they all laid it out on the line. And I would even go back and show some of the players what they did in that series. Because that was how you win. That was like a Vegas type win. How, you know, everyone was for each other. Everyone was working hard. No one cared who scored. No one cared who was on the power play, the penalty kill.
I felt like they were stronger mentally back then.
Without a doubt. There's no question. And that's how you win games. That's how you win series. And it was pretty evident back then.
And I like the take you had with Eric Nordquist today when he was filling in for Paul Allen on KFAN. Because
mm-hmm.
He was asking about, you know, did you tweak? Do you shake? And I thought you had the perfect answer of, well, I think you do a little bit more than a tweak, but you don't, you know, a little bit less than a shake.
Yeah.
You know, they have to make changes.
You
can't come back with the same
yep.
roster. You can't come back with status quo, especially at the forward position, I do think. As you mentioned, I think, you know, and when I say make changes, that doesn't mean, all right, let's give up a Jason Zucker or a Nino Niederreiter, and let's bring in Young.
Or Mikael Granlund.
And let's get, but player
Whatever.
A, player B.
B players
I'm not saying,
matter.
I'm
yeah,
not,
right.
I, you know, it's not necessarily let's trade those players and let's start to rebuild and get just draft picks
yep.
and then stock up. I think it's like you where you got to make a hockey-related trade, almost like what they did in Nashville of, we'll trade you Shea Weber for PK Subban straight up, and we'll get some change of sceneries, and maybe that'll have an impact
right.
on the team. To me, that's the way, yep. that's the route they have to go.
Or Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson.
But they
right?
need to mix up that dynamic in the locker
they
room.
They do. Yep, they do. And then that's where it goes back to, hey, well, wow, we got this guy's really good on that team, you know, and now he's with us. So, I think there's ways to, you know, I don't believe in the fact, because what you're saying is if, Or what people, some people might say are, let's break this whole thing up and get some draft picks. You don't know how they're going to turn out.
Yeah.
Huh? Have we seen number one draft picks, go right down the tank? We have.
Yeah.
And, you know, not only here, but other teams. And so, that's not, there's no formula to say this is what's going to get us to the Stanley Cup. You try different things and see where it all falls into place.
Bad news for Charlie Coyle, but I think good news for the team overall that it was found out from Michael Russo of The Athletic reporting that Charlie Coyle tore tendons in both wrists, was pretty much playing with it since January. Yep. And the reason I say it's good news, I don't want to make it sound like an injury is good news. But to me, it's good news for two reasons. One, it will explain Charlie Coyle's performance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're expecting him to jump back up next year, you have reason to believe, hey, he can return at least to being the former player he was.
Yep.
Because he was playing through that for quite some time, and that explains why he wasn't able to score. The second part of it is, if you did want to trade him, now at least he gains a semblance of his trade value back.
Without a doubt.
Right?
Yep.
If you just went half a season of just not being able to perform, that's a pretty tough sell.
Yeah.
But now if you can go...
Now you have a reason to.
He's going
to
be the old Charlie Coyle, let's make a deal here.
Yep.
It helps his trade value as well. So to me, that was a good piece of news on both fronts, whether you keep him or want to sell him.
Yeah, and you have, wherever he lands, Charlie's a great guy, and I want him to see him be,
yes.
I want him to see him reach his potential of what he can be, because he's got all of the intangibles of being a great player. And I'd love to see it happen for him because he cares. I think he really does care about winning, and whether it be here or if they make it one of those hockey trades, you know, who knows? We'll wait and find out. But at least we, like you said, we know why part of the reason where he didn't have as productive of a year as we all expected.
Sounds like Evander Kane and the San Jose Sharks closing in on a 7-year contract for a guy that's been moved around and seems to be on a year-to-year basis. A couple months of Evander Kane, and they fell in love with him. They're ready to give him a big deal.
I think that he, you know what, his off-ice issues, maybe, I hope he's matured, and obviously San Jose thinks he has, because he's a good player. I mean, he's a really good player, and he's tough, he gets penalties, he scores.
He can skate,
you know, he's not afraid.
He added a little team speed to a San Jose team that I thought was getting slower.
I agree with you 100%, and he really played well in the playoffs for him. So good for him. You know, I wish the Wild would have made an attempt to get him. Maybe they tried. I don't know. But
they flirted with him for quite some time.
Yeah, they did. You know, and especially with the Buffalo connection that they had. I don't know if that'll be the same anymore.
Have we lost the Buffalo connection now?
Maybe we have. We'll see.
We might have a Nashville connection now.
Can
we make some deals with Nashville?
Yeah, Fiala would be nice here, wouldn't he?
Sure, I'd take him.
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of players on
there's
that roster.
There's a lot of players.
Well, and we talked about it last week and be on the pod. Pecorine. You think they could just do a straight-up Rene for Dubnyk trade?
You might be able to.
It's possible.
You might be able to. Those are the type of deals that, you and I are not proposing any trades or any, but that's the type of deals that he would like to make, that he, you know, the hockey trades.
Yep.
That, you know what, if you have a great player, I'll trade you my great player, and let's make it work. Yeah. Because maybe this will work out for you, and your guy will work out for us. You know, we're not saying trade this guy because he's bad. If you're trading guys because they're bad, you're not going to get the value back.
Sure.
You're not. You're going to lose the deal. So make a good deal. That's.
Well, I mean, you kind of look at players in the Wild, right? We just mentioned Charlie Coyle.
Right.
I do think Charlie Coyle, that if he kind of got that change of scenery and kind of had the message sent to him mentally, because I do think I think it's mostly up in his head.
Sure.
Because he has the physical skills to be a good to great player.
Yep.
I do think he's one of those guys that could get a change of scenery and all of a sudden he's maybe playing more of a top six role somewhere else you're playing with the right line mate who's going to help you out, right? I do think he could flourish somewhere else. But also, as a GM, you need to be able to identify those players on other teams.
Maybe
they're in a different role. I mean, Nino Niederreiter was one of those that we got here that was kind of stuck on the fourth line and the Islanders and wasn't getting the role he wanted.
And what do you think of this, Brandon? Do you think also, you know, like a change of scenery for player X, maybe a coach or an organization is saying the same thing, but saying it differently? You know, they see his game and, you know, would they say it in a way where it's the same thing, but it sounds different to them.
Well,
and then they go, look at Eric Halla. Look at, you
I was
know,
just
going to
mention Halla and Tuck, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you played at a high level.
Yep.
When you have a coach that completely believes in you and buys into you, that does help your game a little bit.
Without a doubt.
Because hockey, like every other sport, is a game of confidence. You got to be confident in what you're going to do. And if your coach is confident, you know, I saw something about Gerard Gallant that they've had situations throughout the years where guys are making big mistakes. He throws them back out there the next shift. Says, well, you're going to make mistakes. Who cares? I believe in you. Go back out there.
I was a player. I made them.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think we're seeing that with Hall and Tuck. And, you know, that might be something that's been a little bit of an issue here.
Yeah, because some guys, and, you know, I've been in these situations where they say, you are this type of player, and that's the only type of player you're going to be. And so you get it in your head where, hey, I'm not expected to score goals. I'm not expected to hit. I'm not expected to kill penalties. I'm not expected to be on the power play and produce. I'm this type of player, whatever that player type of player is. And so when you get in that, you start thinking like that, and you continue to play like that, where, like you mentioned, Gerard Gallant saying, hey, go out, do your thing. I'm going to throw you right back out. And the player says, oh, okay, and here we go.
You might need a change of scenery with which golf course you play golf at. I think we would both recommend Eagle Valley Golf Course. The Royal Club this year comes with a free weekday green fee along with $60 worth of range balls and discounted golf for the year. Tee times, more information can be found at eaglevalleygc.com. That's in Woodbury, by the way. And follow them on all social media platforms at Eagle Valley GC. We're now joined by analyst for NBC Sports Network and the New York Rangers, Joe Micheletti, also brother of Pat Micheletti. Joe, thanks for your time. How you doing?
Doing great, Brandon. Pat, everything is good. A couple days off and then back to work on the weekend.
Boy, talk about your stretch. This last month for you has been a little crazy to say, but also a lot of fun.
You know what, Pat and Brandon, I've said this before. It's a grind travel-wise once the playoffs start. But there's nothing I'd rather be doing because I'm lucky to get the opportunity. The hockey is the best hockey that we see over the course of the year. There's so much on the line. It's fantastic. And so to be able to get the opportunity to work for NBC and then do the finals for Westwood One on radio, I consider myself very fortunate.
Let's talk about these playoffs a little bit. I mean, there's literally a different storyline every game, every series. You know, guys making plays that are just. I don't know if it's been any different than years past so much, but for some reason, this playoff season has been just terrific.
Yeah, I agree with everything. I don't think it's that much different from the standpoint that. If you go into a playoff season and if you expect things to be a certain way or a certain team to win it all, you're probably going to be wrong. And, there's always favorites. You know, Pittsburgh the last couple of years and what they did. No one expected Vegas to be at where they are, no one at all. You know, Tampa Bay was an early favorite at the beginning of the season. No one even thought about Washington. I mean, Washington wins the President's Cup on consecutive seasons, and the expectations were so high for them to win a Stanley Cup, and then nothing happens. And so, for the most part, no one even talked about them all season, but yet they end up winning their division. And here they are, you know, one game away from winning or from getting to the Stanley Cup final. So a lot of great things have happened as usual, including not only from a team standpoint but individual performances.
Well, let's do one question on tonight's game because not everyone listening to this podcast is going to be listening to today. But for those that are tuning in today, what's your opinion on tonight's game, Washington-Tampa Bay Game 7? Who's going to win that one?
Well, if you put me against the fire to make a prediction. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Washington wins, and not necessarily because they're a better team, because the Tampa's tremendous. But Washington has had there's been something about their team this year, and you know, in going down the stretch, you know, they win I think 12 of their last 15 games. All this talk over the last number of years about Ovechkin and the Capitals and they can't win it and they can't do this and can't do that. You know, this is a team that has found something to kind of meld them and bond them together. And it might just simply be that the fact that the coach is probably not going to be back no matter what happens. I mean, his contract is up, and they've already given extensions to two of the assistant coaches, which to me, you know, doesn't seem proper, but that's what they've done in Washington. So and you know that the players know that, and Barry Trotz is just a spectacular human being and an awfully good coach, and maybe that's it. It's the fact that because they lost a couple of top six forwards off of last year's roster, that they didn't have enough to get to where they are. So whatever the case may be, you know, something special has kind of happened with that team, and they have found ways to rally. And so I'll just go out on a limb and say Washington wins tonight.
Let's talk about the team that is currently in the Stanley Cup final, the Vegas Golden Knights. And I specifically want to talk about the goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury, because I've always felt everyone believes he's a good goalie. I've never felt that anyone thinks he's an elite goalie, you know, maybe one of the top three goalies in the league, even though he's won two Stanley Cups, but because of the star power in Pittsburgh, he maybe didn't ever get his due. Has he kind of maybe changed the opinion on how high level of a goalie he is this year with his performance, not only in the regular season, but so far in the playoffs?
Well, I'd say this, Brandon. The player and the person have always been highly respected. And I think the early years in Pittsburgh, when they won in 2009, there was no question that this was a goaltender that was going for superstardom. He was on his way. And then he went through a difficult time for about 2 years when they played the Islanders in the first round back, I'm trying to think, maybe 2011 or 12. And it was really, I mean, pucks were going in from all over the place on him. They're going in from the corner, from behind the net, deflecting in. He couldn't stop anything, yet they won that series but lost the next round. And then, you know, he went through a time period where he had to get a sports psychologist and really worked on the mental side of his game. It took him about 2 years to get through that. And once he did, then he started to regain his form. But an injury, Matt Murray getting an opportunity in Pittsburgh, and the fact that, you know, with expansion coming up, they had to do something with their goaltenders. But let's not forget that if it wasn't for Marc-Andre Fleury in the first two rounds last season, that Pittsburgh would not have won the Stanley Cup. He was that good in the first two rounds until Matt Murray got healthy, and then Murray took over. So I think he's playing his best hockey of his career. I've spent a lot of time with him in the last number of weeks covering their games, and he feels great. His attitude is spectacular. And he's really their captain on that team. And so I think he's playing the best hockey he's ever played. I don't think he'll just, you know, come out and admit that, but it's really been fun to watch. And there's a lot of people that are awfully happy for him.
Hey, Joe, let's stay with them for a little bit. And we all know you need great goaltending to win a Stanley Cup and so forth and so on. But you know, you've covered the last two series for Las Vegas, or Vegas, I should say. What about? I mean, we know teams work hard, they play hard, they give their extra effort. All the playoff cliches, et cetera, et cetera. Why Vegas? Why? What are they doing that puts them over the edge right now?
I think there's, you know, there's a couple of things. There's never one answer for something like that.
Yep.
I think that there's a long answer, and there are many, you know, many different subject areas to discuss as to why they are here.
Sure.
You can go back to the tragedy that started their season back on October 1st, where, you know, this was the team that helped heal that city, and not that they're totally healed from what happened, but these players were front and center, and there became a bond with the city and a love affair between the team and the city of Las Vegas that got them started. I mean, prior to that, obviously, you know, no one knew that this would be a group that when George McPhee put this group together, that they had a chance to get to where they are, and all the pieces have fit. And then you had certain players that over the course of the year, you know, just played much better than what they have in their careers. You've had other players and no one thought they were as good as they were. You had the goaltender. You had the fact that despite when they got injuries, they found a way to win. You have a coach that players will do anything for. I mean, and that was so important right from day one. Gerard Gallant told the players, listen, I want to trust all of you guys in any situation. I don't want to have to pull you off the ice because I don't think you can play against a certain player or a certain team or a certain line. I want you to be able, and that's what you've got to show me. You've got to show me that trust. And if you do, then, you know, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to approach every game like, you know, this is the way we win. And that's what they've done. They very seldom talk about the opposition. They very seldom have lengthy film sessions. That's not the way they do things. They don't overthink it. They don't overcoach. And it's really had a positive effect on the players that, you know, James Neal told me early on when I saw him in January, and he said, I just want to re-sign here. He said, I want to re-sign here. He's an unrestricted free agent. And he said, I want to re-sign here. And that's the way everybody there feels. They don't want to leave. They want to stay. And what they've done as a group, and then you can go through the individuals, and, you know Nate Schmidt, the Minnesota kid,
has been
phenomenal in what he's done. But it's been the whole group and everything that's happened, and it's been a magical experience.
What do you see from that franchise moving forward here for the next couple of years then? Because obviously we're seeing something that we might think of being magical for 1 year, but they've been pretty darn good. They're going to have lots of cap space.
Could they go after Tavares or Erik Karlsson?
Is this something we see happening here for the next 2, 3, 4 years in Vegas?
Well, I would say yes. They did come very close to acquiring Erik Karlsson right at the deadline, and it didn't happen. But they were right there. They thought they had him, in fact, and they didn't. So cap space, yes, is one thing. And here's the other thing. Not this upcoming draft, but next year's draft, they have 14 picks. Next year's draft.
Yeah.
So you have teams that are saying, like as an example, you take the deal that they got from Columbus, okay? And everybody made mistakes. I'm not here to, you know, point fingers because that's too easy to do,
right?
And a lot of these teams they're smart people, you know. But they end up getting William Karlsson from Columbus, and they end up taking the contract of
David Clarkson.
David Clarkson, thank you.
Yep.
Of which was a big number on the books. And they also get a first-round draft pick. And I think they got a second-round pick
Crazy.
As well.
Right,
so
right.
They get Karlsson, a first, a second. They take a contract just so they wouldn't take a couple of their other players, including their backup goaltender.
I don't feel so bad about losing Holland Tuck now.
So these things happen, and they're not the only team. I mean, Minnesota, they got, you know, they ended up getting Tuck and Holla.
Right.
And they wanted to make sure they thought they had, you know, it's always easy when things don't work out to go back and point your finger and say, boy, that wasn't a very good move. But, there's a lot of these GMs that, with Chuck Fletcher there. You know, Chuck, I talked to Chuck about this, and they felt they had enough forward depth moving forward, you know, players that aren't there yet but are coming.
Right.
And the importance of keeping a right-handed shot defenseman in Matt Dumba, which those are very difficult to get. And so you can't fault them for that. And who would have known that, you know, Tuck all of a sudden is going to do what he's doing, and Holla has become – I asked the morning of game 5 in Winnipeg, I asked Gerard Gallant, the Vegas coach, I said, talking about some of the players. He named me 4 players that were not very good when they got them that are very good now, and Tuck and Holla were 2 of them that have made huge moves from the start of the season to where they are now. So, you know, it was a difficult thing, but everything certainly has worked out.
Yeah, and Tuck started out in the minors. Let's not forget that. He started the year in the American League, and then they eventually brought him up.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, and who would have thought Holla was going to be a second-line center?
Right.
I don't think a lot of people.
No,
but,
no.
You know, but everything's kind of just worked and fit into place there.
Well, let's talk about the Minnesota Wild then, because they have a new general manager announced yesterday, Paul Fenton, who was the assistant GM in Nashville. What do you know about Paul Fenton, and Can we expect the same aggressiveness that we saw in their front office in Nashville regarding trades here in Minnesota?
Well, you know what? Paul's been around for a long time, and experience is important. And not only the experience, but the fact that he's been with a great organization, which he helped build. There's never, ever one player or one person, I don't think, responsible. And certainly David Poile, you know, set the groundwork, but then you have to have the good people to take that plan forward. And Paul was one of those. So he has seen everything. He's been a part of a great organization. And I like the fact that organization, and Paul was part of it, that they were aggressive in going out and figuring out how to make their team better and make hockey trades. And they've done that. And so Paul is he's a hardworking, he's a good man. He really is a good man. And so, I think that, you know, that Paul will do a great job there just based on the fact that, he's been through so much and, now he's getting his opportunity to be the number one guy. But, you know, I think that moving forward, what he's going to do is, you know, are they going to win a Stanley Cup next year? I don't know. You know, you got to wait and see what he can do. But there's no question about the quality of the person and the quality of the hockey man.
Let's talk about what's going on in your home market for both teams. We'll begin with the New York Islanders. Lou Lamoriello back at it again. He's now the president of the New York Islanders. So two-part question. What's been the issue? It seems like there's always been just kind of chaos in the front office on Long Island for quite some time. What has been going on from a culture standpoint there? And will this impact their ability to re-sign John Tavares?
I think that that's going to make a my own gut was that had things remained status quo the way they were before yesterday, I thought John would end up going someplace else. I don't have any type of privileged information regarding that, but he's a tremendous person, a heck of a hockey player, and he knows he's going to make his money, and I think he just wants to win. And so, but he's also a loyal guy also. So, you know, so they're building a new arena, which is going to help because it just didn't work going to Brooklyn these players trying to get there every day. The ice was terrible. It was a bad situation. And so now there's hope with the new arena, being built. And that's a great thing for the franchise. It's a proud franchise. And, the thing with Lou is he was good friends with Bill Torrey, who built that franchise from day one and turned it into a championship franchise. But, no, there have been some stumbling blocks there. And I think, with Lou and his pedigree and how he does things, and, you can disagree with some of the rules that he has about things, but you can't disagree with his leadership. You can't disagree with the fact that he's won three Stanley Cups. He knows how to win. And I think that for the Islanders to get him was a coup. I really do. I have tremendous respect for Lou. He's a wonderful person with a big heart. And he has his own way of doing things, whether you agree with it or not, but he's a winner.
Yep, no doubt. And finally, Joe, the New York Rangers. Hard to... you tell us. I mean, is this a rebuild? Is it just going in a different direction? You get a new coach now. It appears David Quinn will be the new head coach of the New York Rangers. a lot of deals made at the deadline, that sort of thing. Where are the Rangers at? And is it trending upwards, or where are we at?
Yeah, I think that there's a number of things. First of all, with that current roster that they had, they determined when they were healthy, and a big reason why they were why they started to win, say from October 31st to until the end of the calendar year, end of December, they had a pretty good run. They were healthy, but the biggest reason they were winning was because of their goaltender. And so I think there was a determination that started last season in the playoffs when they lost in the second round to Ottawa. That left a really bad taste in their mouth, a really bad taste, because they gave away a couple of games with, two goal leads late in games and they end up losing, and that's not the way you can win in the playoffs. So that taste from that, the bitter taste from that, lingered. And I think it started with trading Derek Stepan last summer and getting, you know, first of all, getting rid of, because the cap is always an issue, right?
Right.
So his contract on July 1st would have given him a complete no movement on July 1st, and that's four more years at $6.5
million.
Ooh. So they didn't want to do that. The fact that they had such a great run for the previous eight seasons, where they had a chance, you know, they had a chance to win the previous eight seasons, and so they kept making deals and getting rid of first-round picks and getting rid of prospects in order to try and win, which I don't blame them. Anybody would do that if you're that close.
Right.
So, but what happens is it depletes your farm system, and so they knew they had to rebuild that. So they get the first round pick from a prospect from Arizona for Stepan. And then when this happened this year, at that point they knew, and the owner just very simply said, "Listen, is this team good enough to win?" And they, you know, the management, the coaches said, "No, we're not good enough to win." And when you say win a championship, not
right.
make the playoffs. Or some teams just want to make the playoffs. This owner, Jim Dolan, says, "Listen, I don't care about the playoffs. I want to win a championship. Are we good enough to win a championship?" The answer was no. So he said, "Fine, let's do whatever we have to do, and let's try and build this team back up to a point where we can win a championship."
Yeah,
I admire him.
I remember.
So
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so the end of the answer from your question, Pat, is that I don't know if they're totally sure how long this is going to take. I will say this, they are not afraid to spend money. If Carlson becomes available, if John Tavares becomes available, believe me, they are players in the free agent market, and they're players in the trade market. So if they can do this quickly, don't count them out. If there is no chance of being able to do that for whatever reason, they have to continue to rebuild and get better. There's still some very good pieces on this team, some very good pieces, starting with their goaltender, Henrik Lundqvist. So is it a total rebuild? No, I don't think it is. But it could happen quicker than everyone anticipates if things fall into place.
Joe, great stuff as always. We look forward to hearing you on Westwood One right here on The Fan for the Stanley Cup Final. And hopefully in about 3 weeks you can get some rest and relaxation in.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is great. Yeah. Don't pity me. I'm the lucky one in all this.
Oh, so, we're not pitying you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk soon.
Yep,
we'll call you soon. Thanks, bye.
All right, Joe Micheletti. And I mouthed it to you as we were listening to him talk. He is so good.
Yeah, he is.
To have that much knowledge of all the teams, to be that plugged in with owners and
GMs
and coaches.
Can you imagine our phone conversations?
Yeah.
And they go on and on and on. And, you know, we just talk about it. But
who
it's
talks
great stuff
when you guys have conversations.
It's you know, we interrupt each other quite a bit, but it's a blast.
All right, thanks, Pat. We'll talk to you next
Thank
week.
Thank you.
He's Pat Micheletti. I'm Brandon Molesky. Thanks to Joe Micheletti for joining us. This has been Beyond the Pod, brought to you by Eagle Valley Golf Course. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Beyond the Pod.